I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. On the first Sunday of Advent, when we began a month-long celebration of when God intervened in history through His Son and through our Savior. We're delighted that you're here with us. If you are visiting with us for the first time, you've never filled out one of our guest cards, we would love for you to do that and drop that in the offering plate for us today. There are several announcements that I need to make us aware of, and one thing, we did put Journey in, but Journey will not be meeting today, so please note that we will not have Journey. In fact, I think we'll only have it one time this month, and that will be on the 11th because of programs. And that leads right in, dovetails right into my next thought, that is this evening. We will be decorating our sanctuary in a service we call the Hanging of the Greens. And it will look much different next Sunday when you come to worship. But I hope you'll be here tonight. We end it with a candlelight service that really sets the tone for this season. And so I would invite you, encourage you to come and be a part of that. As you look at those, and by the way, to the deacons, especially those who have reading parts, I need you here this evening at 6:10 so that we can get coordinated there, and I appreciate your help with that. There is a meeting tomorrow evening. There are many announcements. I'm not going to mention everything. I hope you will read all that's going on, be involved everywhere you need to be involved. But I do want to remind our revival planning work group that we will be meeting at 7 o'clock in my office tomorrow evening. That's a very important meeting for us to have. Also, note that next week, I think it's today, and I'm looking for clarity. FSYC is 3 to 5?
No, that's next Sunday.
Next Sunday, FSYC will be changing that rehearsal from 3 to 5, so please note that as well. We have a lot of young folks that have come into our youth group, and we really wanted to bring the parents on board with an opportunity called Disciple Now, or Discipleship Now, that we'll be offering hopefully in February. And we're going to have a short meeting next week to talk about that, because part of that involves your home being a host home for a very special weekend for the children or for the youth. And so we would invite you to be a part of that as well. And each night, each Sunday night, from now until Advent, we will be sharing special services. Tonight, the Hanging the Greens. Next week will be FSYC. The week after that will be Instruments of Christ, and then our cantata. Then we'll have a Christmas Eve service. And on Christmas Day, we're going to have a special worship time at 10 a.m., We're not going to do Sunday school on that day, but we will have, I came from Winston-Salem, and I'll tell you what it's called. It's called a Moravian Love Feast, and it's going to be just one little nuance, you might say, to our worship. We'll be sharing hot tea and buns during the worship experience, and if you've never experienced it, I would invite you. You normally do it at night and end it with beeswax candles. We're not going there, but we are going to do the tea and the buns and incorporate that on Christmas Day into family worship. So I would hope that you could make that a part of your celebration of Christmas this year. It's good to be involved, and there is so much going on. And I do want to, one more point I wanted to make. We are going to try to do our church-wide caroling. That's for everybody. On the 21st, and that's a special day because that's Lunette's wedding anniversary, and so you'll want to come be a part of that caroling experience. We have stood out in 5-degree weather being shepherds and her being Mary in live nativities on our anniversary. Preachers should never get married in December. I figured that out, but it was too late. We had already done the deed, but we're looking forward to having that time together. We're going to come back to a bonfire and hot chocolate I hope it could be a wonderful experience for us. And if we really like it, it might become a tradition for us to go as a church. Wouldn't it be great for some of our senior adults and some of our children to go together caroling? It just seems right to me. And so I would invite you to note that and make that a part. And we're going to do that. We're going to meet here at 6:30 on that Wednesday evening, the 21st, for that church-wide caroling experience. Are there any other announcements that I need to make? Then indeed, we have gathered in this place. In just a moment, Regina will give us a moment of meditation to pause to pray. Then we'll pray. And then Lewis and Linda will light the first candle of Advent as we begin to count back to when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Would you take a moment to prepare yourselves to encounter the King of Kings? Emmanuel, God with us. That is our prayer this Advent season. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
The candle of faithfulness. Today we shall emphasize the faithfulness of the shepherds while we reflect upon our own personal faithfulness to God. As we light the candle of faithfulness today, we allow the first light of Advent to remind us that we are the light of the world. Our daily routine is our candlestick. We are to follow the example of the shepherds who were faithful to find the Christ and faithful to share what they heard and had seen with all who would listen. Today we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of faithfulness.
Expected Jesus. Number 77. Let's stand.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday morning. As we start the Christmas season, Lord, let us not forget that you are the reason for the season, and let our light shine for the rest of the world to see that. Bless us now. Bless us, those that are on the prayer list, Lord, and be with them, and bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Here. Isn't that wonderful? My goodness, how great. Thank you for coming. Today we're going to talk about faith, and you've already heard that word some this morning, haven't you? We lit the candle of faith. This might sometimes be a little difficult to understand. Love is pretty easy to understand, but sometimes faith is a little harder. So with the Christmas season here, I want you to be sure and understand that word. So we're going to talk about it today. Pastor Gary is going to talk about it in a little bit. But first, I want you to look at this key ring. Got right many keys on here. Most adults have a key ring. Some of you might have one in your book bag. What do we unlock with keys?
Doors.
Doors.
Inside your house.
What else? This one right here is my what? Car key, right? What else do we unlock? Closets, that's right. How about cabinets, office, all those things? All right, well, let's talk about another kind of key. And you might have never heard of this before. This is the key called faith. The key called faith. It's the key that unlocks everything we know about God. Understanding of God, our love for God, our relationship with God. Without faith, we'll have none of that. We must have faith. Well, let's talk about what that word means. It's belief and trust in God. It's loyalty to God. In other words, it means to believe or to trust or to be steadfast or to be loyal. All those words. Okay, I'm going to read you from Hebrews about faith. 11:1-3. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for
and certain of what we do not see? Are you certain of things you cannot see? This is what the ancients were commanded to do. That means the men of long ago. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. We know by faith that God created the universe. That's how we know, by faith. And if you don't have faith, you cannot please God. If we come to God, we have to believe that He exists, don't we? We have faith. You must believe things that you cannot see. Like if I say that tree out there is yellow and you go see it, that would be easy to believe, wouldn't it? But we didn't see God create that tree, did we? But we know that God made that tree because we have what? Faith. That's right. Think about Noah. When he built that ark, was it even raining when he started the ark? No, it wasn't even raining. But he had faith because God told him to do what?
Build an ark.
Build an ark. That's right. God wants us to be faithful. He always wants us to be loyal to Him. He is always faithful to us. He always keeps His promises. Jesus came to the earth to fulfill a promise that God made. That's why Jesus came to the earth. Wouldn't it be great if you and I were as faithful to God as God is to us? Wouldn't that be wonderful? He always keeps His promise to us. I want to read you a couple of lines of the song. Now listen carefully. O come, all ye faithful. Did you hear the word faithful? Joyful and triumphant. We're joyful, we're triumphant, we're faithful. O come ye to Bethlehem. Jesus was born at Bethlehem, right? So we need to go to Bethlehem, don't we, to see Jesus. So let's see this season. If we can see Jesus, we must be faithful, haven't we? And we can go to Bethlehem and see Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for keeping the promise of your Son to save us. Help us to be faithful to you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, I hope to see you next Sunday. We'll do another lesson.
As the children are returning to their seats, I want to call attention to this new beautiful podium that our friend Tom Luck has built in the last 2 weeks. I had asked him to build me a bigger one so that when we turned it around, we'd have a larger one, and then a request was made to have one similar to it to use in the fellowship hall. And so I said, and also, Tom, could you put us a little extension on it so we could put the microphone on it? And he had already built all this other part, but he adapted it, and we are very appreciative. So we have a lighter weight podium to move during times when we have music programs and so forth. Hymn number 78, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Jesus is the rose.
Oh, Isaiah 40:1-5. Comfort my people, comfort them, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to it that its time of hard labor is over and its wrongs have been paid for. It has received from the Lord double for all its sins. A voice cries out in the desert, clear a way for the Lord. Make a straight highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised, every mountain and hill will be lowered. Steep places will be made level, rough places will be made smooth. Then the Lord's glory will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.
Thank you, Claire. As we come to a time of prayer, let me add a couple of names to our prayer list. Michelle McCorrelson will be having surgery this Tuesday here at Central Carolina Hospital. We will be remembering her. And Jack, I'm not going to say anything about the football game. I'm just not even going to go there. We're glad you're here. And Jack's going to be having knee surgery tomorrow at Rex Hospital. And we want to keep Jack lifted up in our prayers. We want to continue to remember Jessica Smith, who suffered a stroke earlier this week, who is home and expected to make a full recovery, but we certainly want to keep her in our prayers. J.D. McNeil is still a patient at UNC Hospital, as is Ken Jackson. We want to keep them lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. Robert McGehee is home from having surgery this week. We're grateful for that. Jamie Beauvais will be going to the doctor this week. We are hopeful that next Sunday in our Advent celebration, we're going to have baptism. And we've got to get Zach baptized before he heads off to the military. And so we're going to try to do that unless Jamie gets a bad report. A couple of times she's had to go into the hospital because her numbers were not good. If that happens, we're going to postpone that baptism one Sunday. But we are excited about that and want to remember Zach in our prayers as well. Our list is long and everyone is valuable to us and to God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we are grateful for your faithfulness. And so we bring to you these names of people and ask your blessing to be upon them. God, would you speak to us today of our faithfulness to you? Would you challenge us where it needs to be challenged? Would you encourage us where we need to be encouraged? And God, would you receive our gift of faithfulness in worship and in praise this morning, that it might strengthen us, that we might live faithful lives in this world that desperately longs to see faithful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, choir, for that tremendous job. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. It's posted Luke chapter 1, but we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Apart from them all ending, except for one in ing, I want you to think of these words, watching and appearing, shining and filling, saved, being born, finding, laying, praising, going, seeing, telling, informing, returning, glorifying, treasuring. If we read from 8 to 20 as we are, 13 verses, those are 16 actions. And some are repeated to where there are 30 actions required. Either angels acting, or shepherds acting, or Mary acting, or Jesus acting. Action. Action verbs, action words. And I want us, as we begin, to connect faith and action. Faith and action. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. And here, as we read one of many times in the next few weeks, a portion of the Christmas story. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Pray with me. God, may we do some pondering today. May we do some treasuring today, some praising, and some glorifying today. May we see some things and hear some things and prepare ourselves to go out and share. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Sunday school class, for those who had learning disabilities, and one of the students, when asked to summarize the text for the day, said it this way: "In this life, God places us in his oven. In here, it's hot and it hurts. And no one likes being in the oven. But when life is over, the bell dings." The oven bell dings. God takes us out of the oven and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I wonder if we got any half-cooked Christians in here today. Are we working toward being well done? I think the evidence of whether we are on that day going to hear God say, well done, will be directly in proportion to our faith. Now the shepherds, this lowly lot, this group of folks who often had those smells that you did not want to smell because they lived with the sheep. They lived outside. At night, they would warm themselves by fires and wake in the morning with no water. And so now they would be sheep, smelly, fire-smoked kind of guys. Didn't pay much. Often it was folks who couldn't find work or didn't have a skill. They ended up keeping the sheep. And yet, you've never experienced a Christmas in church without hearing about shepherds. And maybe it takes your mind back to that most famous psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, today, for just a moment, I'd like for us to examine the action. And I think very obviously, because maybe nowhere in Scripture is it as well connected except one place, and that's on the cross, where faith and actions connect in an eternal way. Do we see faith and action come together like we see it in the shepherds? They are the VIPs at the Savior's birth. God must have known these men as surely as he knew that Mary would carry the Christ child. And he must have known they'd be together on this night doing what they did, because he used them to tell the greatest story that's ever been told. Well, what might we learn from this group of shepherds? I don't know how many there were. But yet they become my teacher today. The first thing they teach us is life's full of unexpected opportunities. You talk about being in the right place at the right time. These shepherds were that. I got to thinking, if the Lord had sent a group of Baptist angels, now I don't know what the denomination of the angels were that came. You should be smiling by now. Angels, never mind, never mind. But if they were Baptist angels, I'm sure they had several committee meetings to decide which people group they would go to. And once they decided it would be shepherds, they had to pick which shepherds. And once that was determined, I can't imagine how much time must have been spent in which side of the heavens they would come from, which sky they would present the chorus in, and who would prepare food after the performance was over if they were Baptist angels. Unexpected. Might it change your Christmas plans if suddenly this space were to be filled with angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those with whom he's pleased? An unexpected opportunity. I wonder, as those shepherds must have been doing what they had been doing, like you and I do what we do, when suddenly that angel appeared and their thoughts were challenged. We might say their faith was challenged. Many times God comes to us in the most unexpected ways. You remember that commercial? I could have had a V8. You remember that? I discovered that sometimes, if I'm not careful, and if I haven't been working to make sure I have spiritual good eyes, it's like that V8. It's too late. The opportunity has already passed. to realize that God wanted me to say something, to do something, to go somewhere, to stay away from somewhere. I don't want to have a V8 kind of faith. Instead, I want us to begin even now. I wonder what it would be like should we begin to seriously pray right now in the midst of our worship, in the very presence of Almighty God, to say, God, I want to see divine opportunities this week in the Deep River community, at work, at school, wherever my world might take me. Can you remember a time when God reminded you that your faith can be powerful in an unexpected way and at an unexpected time? I remember watching, of course, I got to watch them when they first came out in the first run, the Beverly Hillbillies. Anybody here ever seen the Beverly Hillbillies? Y'all ever seen Beverly Hillbillies? Dylan's got me over there. Y'all need to go and find them. It's a group from Tennessee. Now, I used to live in Tennessee. We aren't all like that. But these were kind of backwoods folks. They weren't sophisticated rural folks like we are here at Deep River. These were backwoods kind of folks. They didn't know a whole lot. And one day, Jed, the dad, was out hunting, and he fired his rifle, and he discovered oil on his property. And that changed his life, because suddenly this backwood group of families suddenly became millionaires. And so, as the song goes, for those of you who are already singing it in your head, so they packed up the truck and they moved to Beverly. There's an interest, they made all kinds of funny stories about this family living outside their element. But one that I want to mention today is they never understood that when someone would ring the doorbell, it would play chimes in their home. And they never connected the music and somebody at the door. But they kind of got it. They began to say, there's that music. And then they would say, and probably in a little while, somebody will be at the door. And after ringing the doorbell a couple of times, someone would finally knock. And they say, see, we told you somebody would come. They never connected the chimes, the music, someone at the door. I wonder sometimes what I don't connect about living every day. I wonder if there's some things God would be saying to me, but I'm just too far back in the woods, spiritually speaking, to really understand it. You see, part of why we worship is to prepare ourselves now. To prepare ourselves right now to say, God, this week, would you allow me to have some divine opportunities like those shepherds. Oh, you can't plan them out. They'll just happen. But oh, if we're ready. I've noticed folks have already started preparing their houses for Christmas, and some, I think, might be through. Maybe it would be good for us to say, what could I do today to prepare my heart and my mind, my habits, and my priorities for Christ, the Christ of Christmas? Not only was it that unexpected opportunity, but it was also undeserved. It was an undeserved invitation. The shepherds, they were low, as we've already mentioned, on the social ladder of their day. And then I began to think, you nor I, we're not royalty, are we? Are we? Maybe somebody here has been invited to sit with kings or with presidents. But most of us are like those shepherds. We're just ordinary kind of people. And hear this wonderful invitation. Did you hear what the angel said? We'll give you a sign. And you're invited to go and see. Isn't that amazing? You shall find the child wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. An invitation by God. An invitation by God to us today still is true. It's still what God wants to do. He still wants to invite us to come. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to spend every day of our life in the very presence of the God of this universe. We don't deserve to be able to be intimate with the God who created all that is. And yet that's exactly what he's given us the invitation to do. And maybe he spelled out that invitation even more clearly in an Old Testament passage that probably you know, or at least parts of it by heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You remember that verse? It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land. What a powerful invitation. God gives us invitations today. I remember one of my favorite songs that we sing is, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. And sometimes I found it's not only a narrow way, sometimes it's a treacherous way. Sometimes it's a dangerous way. Sometimes it's a scary way. Sometimes it's a hard way. And yet we're given that invitation, that undeserved invitation to be with God and to walk with God. I wonder if anyone today might receive that invitation and say yes. As we come to the last point this morning, we talked about that unexpected opportunity and that undeserved invitation. What I really want us to think about for a moment this morning is their understandable, faithful response. The shepherds were faithful to come and to adore him, to come and to worship him, praise him, and glorify him, is what it says. It makes no sense had we read this passage and it read this way. And after the angels had left, the shepherds said one to another, that was a wonderful experience. If we weren't so busy, we'd go to Bethlehem and see the thing the angels had told us maybe later. I don't know. I'm not sure we'd be dressing up in bathrobes, little boys and girls, to be shepherds. Had that been their response? Do you? No, their response, it was full of action. It said, let us go and see this thing that's been made known to us. And when they got there, they found the child. I wonder today, have we found Christ in this worship experience? The shepherds, they were faithful to tell others about what they had seen. We sing that song, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Faithful, action faithful. Now you probably don't have your TV set like I do. I have a very tolerant wife, and I don't know if she became a deer hunter because of this, or has become tolerant after she became a deer hunter. But we watch a lot of hunting channels at my house. Okay, so I need a life. That's okay. I enjoy my life. But there's one commercial that struck me the first time I heard it. It's a commercial about deer hunting. So I'll fill you in for those of you who don't deer hunt. To be successful in the woods, and I'm not sure I should be talking about that because I haven't been very successful this year. It can take a lot of work. There are food plots, and there's corn to be carried, and stands to be hung, and scouting to be done. But the commercial goes like this. At hunting season, everybody wishes us good luck. And the commercial goes on to say, where's luck when we were plowing the food plots and removing the rocks? Where was luck when we were out in the heat of the day planting the seed? Where was luck when we were carrying the corn or walking the miles or hanging the stands or trimming the shooting lanes? Where was luck then? But after all, luck's free, and so we'll take it. I began to ask myself this question: what kind of faith do I have? And I came up with two categories. Maybe there are more. But there's a wishing faith, kind of like that good luck faith. And then there's a working faith, like the shepherds. You see, a wishing faith is full of desire. I wish the church would be full. I wish lost people would come to Christ. I wish things would be better. Good luck kind of faith. But then there's that other kind, that working faith. Oh, it's faith. It's trusting, hoping for the things we cannot see. But it's a faith that says, I'll put feet to my faith. I'm willing to go and see. I'm willing to come and do. I'm willing to come and be a part of. I'm willing to do all that I can in order that my faith might be realized. I don't wish people would hear about Jesus. I'll tell people about Jesus. I don't wish people would fill the church. I'll help fill the church. I don't wish people would pray. I will demonstrate for them how to pray. An understandable, faithful response the shepherds made. How about you and I? Can we decide that in 2017 that we will have a action-packed faith. It'll be full of watching and appearing and shining and filling and saying and expressing that Christ has been born and finding and laying and praising and going and informing and telling and sharing and returning and glorifying and praising and treasuring and pondering. Because that's in the story of the shepherds. All those words. All those actions, all 16. I wonder if that could be what our faith looks like. Can we take the unexpected, undeserved opportunity and invitation of God to make Him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can we, in our families, make sure that we have faithful priorities that make a tremendous difference in our future and the future of our family members? Can we faithfully love each other and love this community? Can we faithfully share the good news of the gospel of the advent of Jesus Christ into history? Today, as we begin the season of Advent with a focus on the faithful coming of God, can we also focus on our faithful coming to God and what that might look like in our lives? May God help us to faithfully come to every opportunity that God will give us, not giving us a Beverly Hillbilly good luck kind of faith, but instead an action-packed working faith that says, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll say. I'll do. I'll be." If so, then when the bell dings, we'll hear our Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that transformed this world from lost to found, from dark to light, from hopeless to hopeful, from dead to life. That's our message. That's our challenge. That's our call as God's people. Help us to be found faithful, to go and see, and to find you, and to praise you, and to glorify you, and to tell everyone we come in contact with of your goodness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is page 95. Go and tell it on the mountain this morning. If God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, we want to invite you to do that. But may each of us, in this moment of reflection and a challenge to go and tell, examine our faithfulness and make sure when we leave, it's not a wishing faith, it is a working faith as we stand together. But then come and be with us tonight. Help us as we decorate this place, not only with the symbols that are everyone in our world is aware of, as holly and Christmas trees and garland, but as we put that spiritual understanding, it might help even in our homes how we celebrate and how we decorate our lives. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. That we might be His faithful people in the midst of all this. Would you pray? God, go with us from this place with renewed energy and renewed understanding and renewed commitment to realize that people need what You have bless us with, and may we share in how we live our life, what we say, and what we do, and how we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Christ's love.